Started talking about Chinese food, and it got me hungry.
You want to start talking about good food? That'll preach. If you get in the Word of God, that's good food too. I just want to share a couple of scriptures with you tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. Have you enjoyed being here tonight? Amen. We have enjoyed having you, and I know that the Lord will bless you abundantly. We won't keep you too long. I just want to share with you what the Lord spoke in my spirit this week. And I know that, just like we've been talking about tonight, if we give it, we'll be blessed from giving. Something that the Lord taught me a long time ago, before I ever really had anything to give, was that what He gave me was to give to others. And it took me a long time to realize that. You know, we grew up singing, grew up playing music, and, you know, for the longest time, I always would go and play the guitar and then always just be looking for something to come. But only until my heart was before God sincerely and saying, "You just take this. I don't even want anything in return." And that's when He would bless me. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read at verse 12. And it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What God gave me was this. You are fed by the spiritual food of God's word to help you to refuse temptation, rebuke your present foe, and to learn how to do it better the next time that things happen. I grew up for a long time, and some of you may be a witness to this and can say amen, and some of you may not be proud to even say amen to this, but I grew up not really taking advantage of what the ministers would preach. I grew up and they would be pouring out their heart, sweat be flying everywhere, spit be flying everywhere, their shirts everywhere, their hairs everywhere. They poured out their heart. They can't even speak. And I didn't get a single word of what they were saying. Because in my mind, I thought to myself, well, I've already got this together. I don't need this. Let's go to the house and get some fried chicken. But I figured out, after not too long down the road, that when I was presented with temptation, I failed. And that when I was presented with opportunities to dismiss the devil, I failed. And it's only in when we eat of the Word of God that we can begin to grow more. The things we've been preaching on over the past week or so is the things we need to execute to be a fulfilling body of Christ. When you say that you are fulfilling your purpose as a church, there are many things that need to be functioning to demonstrate that you are doing what the Lord has called you to do. Now, you can ignore preachers when they pour out their hearts, but you know what? I've never found a steak that looked good that I pushed away. There's been some times that I've needed an answer, Doris, and literally somebody would be preaching, and I would be so consumed in my mind with what was going on out there that I couldn't even hear what they said. You know, and the whole purpose of a preacher is not to get a name, get fame or a title, not to get notoriety or a circle of people that'll back him. It is not about that. The only goal of a minister is to get you to think about what your purpose is. And as you begin to think about what you need to do, the wheels begin to turn in your life and you begin to grow. But when we ignore the Word of God, we begin to starve ourselves. And when we starve ourselves, it shows on us. And I'm not talking about outwardly, because if you look upon this body outwardly, I'm taking good care of this right here. But inwardly, we can be so starved to death that we come in and should be praising Him but can't praise Him. That we should already have authority over the devil but believe that we don't have it. That we should have the power of healing in our words, in our speech, to demonstrate God is with us, but we don't demonstrate it because we're starved. I don't ever function well if I'm hungry. And if I get hungry enough, I'll get desperate. And when you get desperate, you'll eat things you never thought you would. You'll put a meal together out of things you never thought you could fathom that you would eat. There's been some times where we didn't fill up the cupboard at the house, get too busy, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks goes by. Then you go in the cupboard and you look and you see cereal, but you got no milk. You look in the fridge and you've got bacon, but your eggs are expired. You look over to get a nice cookie, And you don't have the special juice or beverage that you have. Until you can go to the place where you can get filled up with all of the food that you need in your cupboard, you may not be prepared for what is out ahead of you.
And that's the benefit of the Word of God. It is not contingent on how long that he preaches, how hard that he preaches. What makes it effective to you is how willing you are to take it. And I try my best and fight the devil off every day of my life to always come and bring you a consistent product. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. I see those guys get up in the morning. We take for granted that the bread's on the shelf when we go to Walmart, right? We take for granted that it got there. But somebody had to make it. Somebody had to wrap it. Somebody had to put the date on it. And somebody had to drive it to you to get it there. So there was a price that was paid that we even have the right to partake of the good things of God. How many of you know that through Jesus Christ's sacrifice that we can fill up our cupboards and be made more than overcomers by the Word of God? Because without Him, none of the words that we would read would have power. But as He is our advocate, they have power. And that means what we eat of the Word is not wasted. It's not squandered. And when winter comes, you'll have enough to get through the storm. Let's read this next scripture, 2 Timothy in the second chapter. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. For the sake of time, I'll go ahead and start reading. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Say that phrase, teach others also. Thou therefore endure, O Lord God. Is that what he said or did he say run? I'm pretty sure that says endure. Not cower, not give up, not say it's too hard. It says endure hardness. It is not something to endure if it's easy. Because if it's easy, you don't mind to bear it. But when it's hard is when we should endure to teach others how we are to go to the source. If we can't endure on the nights when we're tired and exhausted and feel like we've already done more than enough, I've seen people that had such an amazing talent and anointing of God, but you could not do anything to get them off their seat. You couldn't set a fire underneath them to even get them moving. You couldn't. How many of you saw the Ray Stevens video, Mississippi Squirrel Revival, when they put the pin underneath the lady and she jumped up and shouted? How many of you ever seen that before? It's hilarious. I'm here to tell you, there's some people that you literally can't do anything to move them. But I'm here to tell you, they can look as proud as they want to. They can act like they've got everything together if they want to. But when they go home, they've got problems just like you. They've got issues. They've got issues just like you. They get acne just like you. They get bumps that you don't want just like you. They get things around the belt just like you don't want to have. They pooch out and get a little spare tire going around the gut like you may not want to have. We have gray hair come up in places we don't want. We've got hair growing in places that we never knew that it could grow before. Everybody goes through it. They're not exempt. They're not perfect. They are not exempt from the world, nor the things of aging, nor the things of issues. So don't you think that anybody that's not going to be moved has it all put together. I found that the Spirit doesn't cause you to sit still. When it begins to move, it'll cause you to do something. It'll cause you to love somebody. It'll cause you to teach your children that a very real enemy is there to consume them. Amen. He said for us to endure. Why? To teach people. To show them. If I never got up to preach, you wouldn't go tell anybody, you better come to 13th Street. That brother's been tearing it down up in that church. You need to get a hold of a CD. He's been preaching by the fire of God. You would not recommend something if it had not been demonstrated. You would not show pride in something unless it had been proven before you. And that's why God doesn't move only in the unseen things. He moves in things which we bear witness to. Look over at your neighbor and say, that's you. They're looking at you. Yeah, they're looking at you too. They're looking at everybody. And what I was telling Brother Matt as they were testifying is, we look so miserable as Christians that the world has a false appearance of hope and happiness. And when they see us bitter and not teaching them that there's a better way, they go right out and fail. Does it not say that people perish for the lack of knowledge? Oh, I felt that. People perish because we do not teach them. If you want to have a church that worships and believes in healing and power, guess what you got to do? Are you ready? You've got to believe in healing. You've got to obey and show somebody by demonstration that God is alive in you. I used to get so nervous about preaching, believe it or not. The first sermon I ever gave, I bet you wish you could have been there, is only 5 minutes long. I read one scripture. I mumbled and jumbled. I cried. I don't even remember what I said. And I remember I sat down that day and I said, no more. No more. That was just a big hot mess. No more. But let me tell you what happened not too long after that. Things that was surrounding me in my life that was in peril began to be changed without me even doing a thing. I'm talking to somebody right now. It might look like that it's ridiculous. It might feel like it's too difficult. You might think that you're giving up yourself and nobody's taking of it. But let me tell you, when you demonstrate God, when you are an advocate of Him, He will demonstrate Himself by how He gives in the things that you couldn't even change on your own. All of a sudden, your enemies are at peace with you, and they don't even know why. They're ready to make amends, and you're standing there thinking, well, I thought I was going to hold on to this forever. You might look at a situation and think that it can never be any different, but all of a sudden, that the grudge that used to be there is no longer there. My heart used to be broken over the way that people treated me. When I began to grow in the anointing of God, people I knew all my life looked down on me because I did something that they didn't understand. And only until I got close to the Lord was I able to let go of the things that made me angry when they would be confused and talk about me. And now, if anything, I pity anybody that looks on me and calls me crazy, because the very thing that they're making fun of is the very thing they need to change their life. I feel Him. You better know and understand that it might look crazy to you, but it might be just the thing you need. Endure hardness. Oh, man. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to be considered a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you have to properly represent Jesus Christ. No greater love than this, that He would lay down His life for His friends. A good soldier in battle will risk everything to save the life of one that has fallen. There are soldiers that have went to war that didn't die in any epic battle. They died because they went after to save somebody else. What a love that is to have for somebody. And I'm thinking, you know, there's no better love than I'll ever have than to know that I have people down in the trenches with me, that if I fall, that they won't leave me there to die, that somebody will be a good soldier and go after me in the times when I am wounded. Church, I know we're not all going to come in and shout all the time. I know we're not all going to come in and have a smile on our face. But if I see you laying there hurting, I better get ready to go and carry your load, because I'm going to get blessed as much as you will. Because when you represent Christ, He'll represent you. But when we walk in unbelief, when we doubt God, we're representing Satan, who says God is not able. He wants your worship. He got kicked out of heaven because He wanted the worship of the angels. He wants the attention. And how many of you know some of the number one things that grab attention are rumors, untruths, lies, deceit, gossip, hearsay, news articles, forums, topics, all kinds of things can cause this up here to get all crazy. But God wants you to know tonight that He didn't call you to walk in confusion. He didn't give you that spirit. He didn't want you to sit around and talk about whatever the people said about you. You ready for a real word? Open up your hand. I'm going to give it to you. Who cares what they say? Who cares what they say? Because when you're hurting, they're not there for you anyway. Who cares what they say about you? Who cares if they make fun of you? Now I'm able to go to the places that people would have once hindered me, and I'm able to go and demonstrate something because I've already let go of what they even did to me. I'm able to go and be in a position where the Bible even says, where we go and pull them out of the fire. If you want to pull somebody out of the fire, you better be on fire, or you're not going to handle the heat. The only way you tolerate the heat is if you get a tolerance for being on fire. And if you're not standing around, how many of you have turned on hot water and not been under it while it was getting warmer, and you walked away from it and came back to it and burned your hand off? I've did that. I didn't think my water was hot enough at our house. We got it turned up a little bit hot.
You get it going, you jump in the shower, and you have to jump back out because it's too hot. If you're not being seasoned in your life in the Word of God every day, it'll get too hot for you and it'll hurt. Let me read this to you. By the example of love through all and the obedience of the ministry of the gospel by us, others can be saved and Christians can gain wisdom against the enemy. If you're saved, you need to have knowledge to know how to rebuke him. And if people are not saved, we need to be demonstrating by enduring. Because if we're not going to endure anything, they're going to come to a service where we're flat out dead. And let me tell you what's going to happen. They won't be back. They might get saved somewhere else, but if we let them down, God's not going to keep sending them back. Because he would not have them to see a picture of hopelessness. He doesn't want them to get saved by the program. He wants people to be saved by the Spirit. I missed true, powerful conviction. I remember that the anointing would get so strong in places that you literally felt like if you didn't get up and move and go to the altar, that you were surely going to perish right there in the seat. How many of you have ever felt it like that before? I have felt that so strongly. And I thank God when we don't execute in your anointing, people don't feel a difference at all. They come in and sit down and think they can still live their life the way they're living it and not change anything. And when it's like that, don't expect a free flow of the anointing because you have too many things coming against you to ever prosper. That's why it's so important for us who know the way to come as one body to execute the will of the Father. Because then when he wants one to move, they'll move. And he wants another to speak, they'll speak. And there'll never be a moment of confusion in the house of God. Galatians chapter 5, I just want to leave this with you because we have to learn to examine our behavior. We have to learn to examine how services are going, if we're helping people. Because if we go way too long and aren't making a difference to anybody, I'm going to tell you, everybody's going to be miserable. You won't be able to get anybody to find a song. You won't be able to get anybody to preach. Won't be able to get anybody to pastor. There's churches without pastors. They could have a pastor if they showed an ounce of desire to serve God. But it's about the program, and so they need a pastor to execute the program. They need a choir leader to lead the music, and they're not realizing that they already have what they need to perform the will of God. Let's read at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I like to remind myself of these often because this is how I measure myself. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Here's what I leave you with tonight. A measure of the true success of a church is the salvation of a soul and the promotion of the fruit of God's Spirit in Christians. If we can't show fruit, then people will go home with empty cupboards. He didn't call you to receive. He called you to be the guy that gets up early in the morning and gets the bread there to somebody. He called you to be the one to be ready in spite of how everything else went even before you got up to preach or to sing. It cannot be contingent on what you see. It must be by faith. And here's the deal. If we want to keep growing and prosper and help people, the fruits of the Spirit have to be bore. And if we're not showing that, we can preach all we want to. And I was talking to somebody about a merry-go-round the other day. They don't make them hardly anymore for playgrounds. I remember I got on there one time, and it got so fast that I knew that I had to hurl. It had already got up in my mouth. Every time it'd get around. And I finally just let it loose, buddy. It didn't go out. It went up. And I'm pretty sure there were some people that was caught in the crossfire. Nobody likes that feeling when they know that everything that's inside of them is about to be spilled out everywhere. You don't need to wait too late till your baggage is showing in everything that you say and do. How many of you ever made the mistake of coming up to somebody and saying, hey, how you doing? And 35 minutes later, you're still finding out how they're doing. Everything you never wanted to know, all the information that was TMI, all the problems that you can't fix, and now you feel just as bad as they do. I'm almost afraid to ever ask. Because if somebody's not seasoned in the Word, I'm going to tell you what you get. You're going to get spoiled meat. Spoiled meat. You know what spoiled meat is? People that get up here and preach it just because they have to. No heart. No desire. And when you go out, you're just the same as you were. If we are not cultivating growth in you, we're not doing our job. That's the bottom line.
If we're not cultivating you to want to do more the next time you're here, we're not doing our job. He said to provoke each other unto good works. Unto good works. Unto doing something better. And I don't want to look 6 months down the road, and I've been at churches where this has been, and look back and feel like, well, we're in the same place we were 6 months ago. We're in the same place we were 10 years ago. I've been here 8 years. And you know what? We're not in the same place we were. We're not still just this church. We have a desire for something larger, a bigger vision, to grow and to do more. But we can't live as the same church and keep going around the same merry-go-round. Because I'm going to be honest with you, God won't keep me here if you're going to spin it around. He wants people that have a desire to grow. And if the church doesn't grow and you don't feel like you're prospering, you know what? He'll send you somewhere else. But it's by no coincidence that he sent you here, because he has saw the desire in our prayers to not be like all the other churches. Because one thing's for sure, Gary, people go to this church and some other church, they're definitely going to know they've been here. They're definitely going to remember the experience. And they'll definitely remember something. He said that he'd use the foolish things to confound the wise. So no wonder we have goose ladies. No wonder we have preachers then. Give it something crazy. No wonder we have prophets that tell it just like it is. It's for a reason. He wants to put every place that he has called as his assembly to cultivate growth, right? The true sign of a growing church is not your number. It is represented in how you represent Christ. So our number may not be a mega church, but you know what? The mega church couldn't handle the problems we have. That's why they're located where they are, to reach out to that kind of thing. We're dealing with very real demons. You can amen or ignore, one of the two. We're dealing with real demons. We're dealing with real spirits. We're dealing with the three kinds of infiltration, oppression, vexing, and possession. That which comes just every now and then, that which comes a whole lot, or that which comes and never leaves. We're dealing with those kinds of spirits in this town. And drugs is absolutely taking every person in the world that ever is looking for hope and can't find it by Christians. That's the sad truth of it all. Because I found that when a Christian is in the fullness of the presence of God, they feel just as good as an addict could if they shot up everything they could buy. I would rather be doing nothing else than this. I would rather be nowhere else than here. You know why? Because if I can give one thing that causes you to think about your life differently, then it's made every minute worth it. So you look at what you do, and you tell yourself, if I just give it, it's worth it. Because here's what happens, church. As you begin to bear the things we are already called to bear, look at somebody and say, you're already supposed to be doing this. You're already supposed to be. This is not something we got to wait on to happen. You're already supposed to be doing this. As we do as we are supposed to, then we get on the true agenda of God, which is adding souls to the kingdom. Amen. I want to see some people saved. I want to see some people baptized. I want to see some people converted. But we've got to learn to grow together, share each other's pain. And oh, brother and sister, if we can do anything, if somebody says, how you doing? Don't give them everything. Give them God. You can tell them everything you want. It ain't going to fix nothing. I say less now. Believe it or not, I say less now at this stage in my life than I ever did. Because when I feel that hopelessness come on me, the Word of God has taught me what to do. When it comes on me, I say, you know what? God has already blessed me before. I already have power and authority over Satan. I almost took my life twice. Felt that spirit of suicide come on me when I was a young man. And each time when it happened, all that I can remember doing when I felt that hopelessness was I just began to think on the Lord and ask Him to help me. One of the times when I almost died from an overdose, the last thing I remember telling God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll go to church. Church, you don't have to run a mile to prove a thing. You don't have to prove anything to me about who you are in God. If you just be sincere, if you just try, see what God can do. I remember I woke up that next day, and I hadn't cried in a long time. I had taken all that I could take, did things I'm not proud of. All the things I felt in my hopelessness has nothing to be compared to that moment
when I opened up my mouth with faith and said, God, I know you're able to help me. But that moment didn't happen without somebody leading me there. People need you to lead them, to teach them. Because without that, they'll perish. And I don't want anybody to perish. I want you to know that out of your pain, you can create a ministry that'll stand. Out of the darkest days of your life comes your greatest motivation to endure. And most of all, church, while you're here, if you are still here, just pinch yourself. Make sure you're still here.
Yeah, I'm here.
If you are still here, then God is not through with you.
Get past the circumstance, get past your pain, get past the sickness, get past everything. If you're still here,
God is not through with you. There are people that we go to the nursing home and visit, and bless my soul, greater than anything I can find on YouTube, greater than any podcast that I can listen to, greater than any devotional I can read, just somebody that will try. The disciples didn't know what to do except to try. And if we're going to represent him properly, we've got to try. We're not the kind of church that's going to sit you down if you try. Because there's places that will. And if people want the Holy Ghost, you can have it, but we got to go in this room and do it. We don't want to disturb the service. If you want to pray for this, you got to go out here. We got to separate it from the program. This isn't that kind of place. In fact, I love it when God messes it all up, man. I love it when it gets all messed up. And you see, we've went and visited some places and we start singing the anointing of God flow. And I can just see brother pastor's legs begin to shake a little bit because he starts getting anxious because the program's getting messed up. And he starts getting that look in his eye like, I don't know if I'm going to get to do what I want to do. We've been sat down before by people that didn't want us to obey him. Been in the middle of a song, sang three songs, the anointing of God was moving, was about to testify. And the guy gets up and he says, you all done? I guess so. We've not been asked back since. But you can imagine why. We're not that kind of place, okay? So you don't have to have your name on the book to come here and be who you are. We want to be somebody that can help you. A sister church, a friend, a brother, an encouragement to you. Stand with us tonight. Look over at somebody and tell them, thank God he is done.